that be your borough assembly or your city council, in a particular community. So if that has already occurred, then, and I will listen to the comments that are going to be made today once I get back to Juneau. I will listen to the tape and to each and every one of you. But I believe that when we've got the voice that is already been heard, that we need not to pull the piece of legislation back, but to move it on to the next committee of referral. So hopefully we'll be hearing this bill again.
After we find see what the amendments are, if any, and resources, then we can work the first one over. I'll ask finance to weigh it out of committee.
Well, I appreciate being heard, and I apologize to everybody here that I am screwed up.
Okay. Who's feeling?
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. I'm coming down.
Okay. First to testify is Roy Hoyt Jr.
My name is Roy Hoyt Jr. My address is Box 2121, Homer, Alaska. To give you some insight into my aviation background, I commenced flying in January of 1942. I've been a military, commercial, executive, or pleasure pilot, closely associated with aviation ever since. I was an air traffic controller for more than 30 years, all in Alaska, and an air traffic facility manager for over 20 of those years. I was the manager of the Homer Flight Service Station for 9.5 years prior to retirement in June of 1991. I have a detailed knowledge of the Homer Airport and its surroundings. Some 42 years ago in the military, I was involved in an aircraft accident caused by a Canadian goose coming through the windshield. I was giving night flying instruction. It was just turning dark or dusk. Now, the goose hit my student in the head, breaking his neck and killing him. Had I not been very close to an airport at the time of the bird strike and a highly proficient pilot at that time, I never would have been able to get the airplane on the ground. I too would have been a fatality. You don't see a bird prior to a strike. You hear it or you feel it. And that's when it happened. The recent accident at Elmendorf Air Force Base, where 24 lives were lost due to ingestion of birds, should give you cause for thought. On the front page of just last Sunday's Anchorage Daily News ought to really scare you about bird strikes. Historically, there have been problems with all kinds of birds at the Homer Airport. I contend that it is irresponsible to have this critical habitat area adjacent to the airport. It is impossible to enhance the area for moose without enhancing it for birds. A sign that says birds prohibited will not be very effective. By creating this critical habitat area, the state is certainly increasing their liability for any aircraft accident caused by a bird strike. If it inflicts death, injury, or property damage to any degree, it could precipitate lawsuits of unlimited damages. The area ties up some property that could be used for industrial development later on without any danger to present moose habitat. Since this area is entirely within the city limits of Homer, the residents deserve the right to vote on its establishment. I was in hope that perhaps logic, common sense, and good judgment would prevail somewhere along the line concerning this legislation. I, as well as a number of others, are fed up with those that are putting our four-legged and feathered friends ahead of our lives and humans. Thank you.
Thank you. Paul Seaton, and I'm standing by Marla McPherson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Paul Seaton. I live just east of Homer. I'd like to comment that, first of all, for a number of years now, we've been trying to enhance the winter moose habitat by planting of willows in the area on private lands and other lands. It's very difficult when you're doing this in areas that have no security that you go in and try to plant willow for moose, and then it might be developed or that land might be lost. So I think it's I think this would aid quite a bit in the local effort that has been ongoing to try to improve the moose wintering habitat, preventing starvation of wintering moose, et cetera, to have this critical habitat area here. I'm a commercial fisherman, and I have a couple boats here. I've been engaged in RO marketing as well, and you know, I think there's plenty of area for industrial development that's suitable for that, and I don't think that that would relate at all to the fishery development, fly-out fishing, or anything else. This area is not necessary for the expansion in our type of industry. So, thank you, unless you have any questions.
Is there anything in the work that you're doing that you think would enhance at all the bird population?
No, I don't think that the bird population here is a going to be enhanced by protecting moose habitat.
Not really sure how many drones may have actually flown into Homer or out of Homer from that Homer airport, but every time I've flown in the winter, I've counted between 30 and 40 moose in the area, all within a couple miles from each other, and this is pretty consistent year after year. Every turn in this area is a critical area for them, for their habitat, and a critical browse area. And I think at the level that it is a consistent returning spot for the moose, that it should be preserved. And I, in response to the concerns of birds, I really don't think that this area would be a threat. If there's any area that should be concerned, it should be the seabirds and the other birds that gather along the shore, which the airport is just as close to the shore, so it would be a critical habitat area. So I really don't think that the issue of birds should be a concern. And I'd like to keep it short and just let other people make their comments. But I am in support of this bill, and I thank Senator Torgerson for writing the bill. Thank you.
And I will just comment for myself that I have flown in Homer several times, and I think I'm still the only member of the committee that's online right now. David?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Daisy Lee Bitter?
That's correct.
And then Jan Eagle, have you decided you want to testify? It says question mark here.
I'd like to say that I'm in support of the
committee. Okay. Well, we'll let you say that to see if we get that on the tape. Go ahead. And then
I'm David A. Bitter, and I've been on Alaska for over 41 years. And a property owner down here since the 50s. And I've been educated many more years than that. I'm going to speak in reference to education, recreation, and tourism values associated with it. Through the years, I've led lots of people down to the edge of the wetlands area. And we go through the 11 acres that the land trust owns down there. And we've gotten a lot of public support and work and volunteerism and also a lot of bucks so that we can build those trails. And we have an observation platform down there that many people use. A lot of times we leave a job or it's just open for public use. And it's a rare place to visit. I don't know if you had a chance to do that. We'll come back some other time. But you did go to the observation platform? Great. I'll get your ideas on it some other time. But we got great comments for it. We even have developed plant lists. We have brochures about it. And we have also helped develop a connecting trail to Paul Bank School. So any school that wants to bring their buses that will also go right near this, so people will be able to see the effects of an area that the moose have not browsed on, so there's a more scientific value built in.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jen?
I'm Jan Eagle, as a new resident of Homer, I just wanted to say that I came here to live last fall because of the beauty of the habitat, the wildlife, the birding. And secondly, by reading and listening carefully to the news, although I'm not in any way an expert on aircraft and birds and collisions therein, it seems to me that we see in the Anchorage incident that there was a dual problem there. It was not just that Anchorage is an area rich in the splendor of many Canadian geese and so on. It was because of a systemic failure on the part of the Air Force in preventing those collisions. The time is long past when we believed, I think most of us, that we have the right to dominate the earth against the animals and feathered friends who live there, and that there must be a way for us to find, to cooperate and to share the habitat that we've both been blessed with, the people and the animals, the moose and the birds. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm just going to note that for those who haven't seen the legislation, and maybe you all have seen it, but there is a provision in here that says that it is subject to the authority of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to prohibit or remove an activity, installation, or object that may enhance bird habitat on or in the vicinity of the airport. And then there's another, says the Department of Fish and Game shall cooperate with, neither the Department of Fish and Game or any other person may create, develop, or enhance bird habitat within the critical habitat area. So it's, you know, I think that's something that's a good point. It shouldn't be done there. You know, I represent the district that Euclid 27 flew out of, and you know, that's when you have lives of people at stake, and we have to make sure that we're not further endangering them.
I'm Kathleen Hammermore, and I live at 4631 Chestnut Bay Drive. My home is adjacent to the wetland that's here today to the proposed critical habitat area here. And my concern, first of all, is that the regulations allow us to continue with multiple use, and I'll just put it in the record here that whether or not I was trespassing, I don't know, but I've been using this property for quite a while to do a number of things, winter trails as well as summer slogging around in my hip boots with my kids, and we've got trails that go across from Kachemak Bay to East Road, and when I had the dog team, I would mush my dog all the way from our place on Kachemak Drive near the city limit to McDonald's, and have a cup of coffee and then mush home. I have a horse, and I take him out there at night, ride him once in a while if it's not too wet, and I let him graze out there too. So I didn't want to see myself getting into a bind with the use of this property as a landowner adjacent and a home mother user, whatever, adjacent to this property. I noticed that really there's not too many moose in this area unless there's heavy snow up high, and so this area being sort of reserved for their nutritional needs when the high country is snow too deep, seems to be when they're using it the most. And by the time the snow is gone at the upper elevation, they're up there. You know, they're not going to hang around town too much unless there's, you know, problems with predation. I noticed the moose will get closer to town when they're concerned about deer and wolf predation on them, especially when they're calving. But there's a lot of interesting wildlife out there, and I, you know, had company come, and we go out there and do viewing. There's, you know, swamp, there's black bear, I mean, there's coyotes. I get to see all this right from my home, you know, I see geese, but there are higher elevations, and they're, you know, north or south, but I don't see them really hanging around a lot, and maybe that's I have observed it, but you know, I really would be in support of what Mr. Hoyt said. If anybody, you know, in our community could do anything to try to even prevent, you know, an accident to a pilot would be, you know, I would really encourage it. I mean, if you happen to see, you know, large flocks of geese in the area, maybe let the airport know or something like that, you know, that they're in the vicinity. But another thing is I'm just I'm just kind of anti-regulation at this point in my life. I feel like I've been so restricted in so many of the uses that I was born to think I was entitled to just because of the population growth in Alaska and so forth, that I tend to want to see a real light, restrictive language on multiple use. And so more than anything, I'm pro multiple use for this property.
Are you aware of anything in this that would preclude that type of activity?
Actually, we say that find the subsection here. There is part of the transportation facility too, and comes down to subparagraph D, prohibits the use of land for any purpose other than public access across the land. So public access across land, so not restricted.
Public access, and as you mentioned, you know, a lot of your worst degrees and things like that. Is that
identified
the other place,
and I wouldn't know what they would do.
It's something here for
the
fishing game.
The majority of these restrictions are FAA restrictions, and they're more intense than what they're in the critical habitat area. Okay. Placed there by the Department of Transportation. But I don't have
a. If we don't get an answer today, we'll look at that and make sure that those types of things, dog teams and horses and things like that.
So many skiers. I mean, we're using it to ski. We have, a lot of. The neighborhood people go from house to house across the wetlands,
You're not harassing moose while you're there, right?
I like to avoid the moose. I consider them actually highly dangerous animals.
But not at least it doesn't already today. Maybe more. My name. Go ahead and identify your name so we can get it into the
room. Dave Vandenberg, around this corner for some time now. The question that you just dealt with, the already established Anger River critical habitat area encompasses large grazing leases, so apparently those uses are already acknowledged. For my own part, I would like to say that I've been a member of, or am a member of the Wetlands Task Force. My primary interest is that from long observation, and actually it doesn't take that long, there's a great deal of summertime moose habitat and very little for wintertime habitat, and that's the primary mover for my part, my interest in establishing more area in those lower elevations for the moose to attempt to survive in what we have with normal winters. And I think the bird problem will probably not be any great concern so long as managers do not follow the long-established military system of making things too neat. If the grass, short grass is not available, geese won't be attracted to graze there. And that shouldn't, birds should be no more of a problem in the future than they are right now. And there's a lot of other people here who want to say something, so I will conclude with that.
They're too close to
the airport.
And they're all in the soccer fields and
everything.
It's all
far. Your mindset consistent with the critical habitat area, anybody would object to that. snow machines would be a possibility, but otherwise walking, snowshoeing, animal, like use like that.
Mr. Chairman, we do have a copy of the budget committee bill. It will be launched out, so just represent the...
Most of them.
There'll be commercial users, hunter trappers, recreational users, and no followers.
Nicely. On the can, no.
Okay, what happened with your six shooter blazing?
Come down and crowd and get the grass, so judge the campers.
You're hoping of course, yeah, Bob, let's see, we have Garner and Carol, Carol must be your wife, yeah. She's talking. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. There, my name is Bob Moss. I live on 4490 East Hill Road. There, I'm particularly supportive of this Senate Bill 198. There, I base this on 50 years of watching changes and the development in the Homer area. I believe that this time it's critical for the success of Bill 198 that some action be taken.
No, they're critical.
Put off time to launch a program such as this. And I think that at the present time that we reach that point.
Something real important. I mean, presentation at the school,
something political.
It was.
Lawrence, like the local
Georgian. Starts writing.
I see, I have to move myself.
How's going to school of finance with you? Do I need the
reading? Yeah, right.
There's a...
Get a group.
What I'm really saying is that to build a building on a small piece of land is not difficult. But we're working here with a whole ecological system, not one small part. The adjacent landowners to this habitat area are interested in participating. But they need a nucleus there in order to bond to it.
Yeah, I think
Homer is an Alaskan town. Their economy is based on what
and Lauren,
the local people of the visitors perceive to be Alaskan. And I think that this critical habitat area will enhance that type of economy for Homer. I'm very supportive of it. We've all seen the changes in the ecological niches that we have in this area and elsewhere too, and it's an irreversible.
Stand up and say things you ought to know the answers.
It's really an irreversible process there, and rather than look at it as a short-term commercial or some other type of improvement, it should be looked at a long basis. Quite a few years ago, more than most people bring up in the situation that's not very much talked about. There was a chip mill that was proposed by the Interested Development for the Kachemak Bay area. Chip mill was to be put in on green timbers on Homer's Spit. A lot of them would be voted in there, and the cutting would be done fair cut across the bay. And there's a number of years ago. And it had support from the city fathers, it had support from the forestry department of the state.
And
the only way that it was prevented was because the people were forced. And I think looking down here this morning, you can tell that there is the same sort of thing going on here. And I doubt if anyone in Homer would at this point back up what would have happened there looking at the clear-cut timber across the bay. And I think it's very important that the people in the area are well aware of what's going to happen 30 or 40 years down the road, not what's going to happen by putting a building or something on a piece of land.
Well, at least I'll get the weather report on what it's like.
I think that's all I have to say.
It's bad.
Well,
you know, one thing, see, wants to put in a subdivision.
I am really worried. And I'll try to be brief because there's a man that still would like to be loose armory thing, and I probably got more involved during that winter of 91-92 and so many of them died of starvation when the snows got so deep up on the hill. And I think that it is safe to say say that it is traditional that the moose are driven down by the snow, and I think this year is a classic. We don't have the snow. The moose are basically saying, I actually noticed a while ago, it seems to be centered in the Angelina Basin right now. They are habitat situated animals. In other words, they know whether they find a food source. And my sense is, they have come to this lower bench probably for much longer than we have been here in Homer, probably long before Mr. Homer himself came here. And so I think it's very, very vital that we preserve this habitat for them. We also know and recognize that if more people move in and more people develop, we are losing habitat. Every last time somebody removes a willow bush, that's habitat, that's feed for the wintertime willow bush. And yes, I've been participating in trying to replant willow, but we still need to preserve those areas that they can depend upon. The committee has worked on this for 10 years. We have very strong local support. I've told that some of the testimony has been taken in the past as part of your package. I think some of the petitions that have gone around as a part of your packet that you realize, and I'm just taking a look at the turnout that we have here today, that you realize the amount of strong support that this does enjoy in the community, and I encourage you to help us see this to the world.
Thanks for hanging in there with me and not getting your telephone call returned, but Joel Cooper?
Yeah.
You're not one of my cousins, right?
Yeah.
Well, I
don't know. One day we may find out.
Well, we're more distant than the media ones.
Yeah, I think so.
Taking up on Wednesday.
Just one more question too. Is the record of this meeting going to be provided to the other members of the committee who aren't here?
Yes. Yes, it will be. If not fully transcribed, it will be essentially summarized, and just like there should be somebody in the junior probably right now recording it, and then we'll make documentation of this meeting. So if you have any written testimony, and you know, if anybody does, you're welcome to provide that, and we'll provide that to committee members.
Just one more thing. I mean, since the bill has already been heard by the committee, I'm just reminding you that it doesn't, that you could bring it up any time, and just urge you to do that. Thank you.
Larry Smith was next. I believe she was. I think she's. Mr. Leach, go. Is it like the council again? Okay. Dennis Leach, Charles City Council. I'm not going to try to fill Mr. Smith's shoes here. Those are big shoes. Yeah, they are. They are. I'm not going to belabor any of the other points that have been made. The numbers are there. The majority of people in this area do support it. This is the fourth public comment period for this project. Every single time, testimony was strongly in favor of the project. That is not the problem. Our lands on the south side of the airport for future expansion. That is not a problem. What I do see
is what they're calling for.
Is an important fact that isn't necessarily being brought up here is that Homer is in the process of changing over its main focus of economy. We've been a commercial fishing town forever, and that is decreasing, declining. It's going to require a lot of change on our part. We're going to have to help get issue, but the fisheries are all changing. It is no longer as stable as it was. There's still a tremendous future there, but it's going to take some work. So we as a city have decided upon encouraging tourism as another means justifying our existence and staying alive. Part of tourism is wildlife in this area. And that's a pure simple fact. The scenery, the wildlife, unspoiled, things of that nature. This particular herd of moose in this particular area represent the vast majority of the watchable wildlife down here. This 50 to 100 moose that use this area as their wintering ground are the ones that all the tourists see, that all the Winnebagos see. They live within, around, and close to the road system. It's unlike all of the other wintering grounds that are bat removed. So it's not like losing 50 or 75 animals from way the heck out in the middle of nowhere. This is part of what people come to Homer to see. And I do not think it's unusual for a municipality to protect that which feeds itself. This is part of our future, and we're taking a very strong, bold move here to protect and continue that future. And that's what I would like to see some emphasis placed on. Okay, thank you. Elizabeth?
My name is Elizabeth Quibb, and I'm here today representing the Pratt Museum, Homer Society's Natural History. And thank you both for coming. I would first like to invoke a letter that was written to Derek Stoner, co-chair of the Beluga Wetlands Task Force, from the museum board. Derek, the board of directors of the Homer Society of Natural History, representing about 800 members, reviewed the proposal for formation of a critical habitat area for the Beluga Wetlands at their meeting on March 7, 1995. Board members were unanimously in favor of the proposal. It is gratifying to see a proposal such as this, which can provide so many benefits and for which there does not seem to be any reason for rejection. Many thanks to you and other task force members for all of your work on this. Sincerely, and it's signed by the president of the board of directors. And this was predated by a previous letter 2 years before this that was sent to the task force in support of this critical habitat area. Secondly, I received an email yesterday from Dr. George West, who is a local ornithologist and a member of the board of directors of the museum. George is also a retired professor of wildlife biology with the University of Alaska system. I would like to paraphrase some of his comments that he emailed me yesterday regarding the bird populations and the aircraft hazard issue at the Beluga Wetlands critical habitat area. And George wrote me to say that at the time when the task force was formed, there was a healthy colony of 40 years of Arctic and Aleutian terns nesting in the marsh. Since that time, the number of nesting terns has dwindled to 2 to 3 pairs. A few pairs of mew gulls currently nest on the island. Several species of ducks, including widgeons, mallards, and shuttler, may also nest there after a couple of pairs of sandhill cranes. During the period when there was more, when there were more nesting birds in this area, during the early part of the formation of the task force was not aware of any problems with aircraft during that whole process. Dr. West would like to assure Senator Torgerson that even with critical habitat status, there will continue to be increased pressure on the habitat and birds from surrounding urbanization and from recreational use, people, kids, dogs, horses, whatever. So there will be fewer, not more birds, to present a health hazard to aircraft in years to come. The effect of designating critical habitat status to beluga wetlands will be to benefit the moose more than the birds, should not pose any great hazard to aircraft. Thank you very much.
Could we have the, your reference to the committee for the committee copies? Lynn Whitmore and Jim
Rosenstein. Thank you. My name is Lynn Whitmore. First, I think I'd better give thanks to Senator Torgerson because this takes a lot to get these things moving, and we have a lot of support behind us, but we still had to sell it. And in order to get him to introduce this, it's like it's been a long time, and I appreciate the effort. And I'm co-chair of the Beluga Wetlands Task Force. I'm the chairman of the Homer Fish Game Advisory Committee. I'd like to speak for a moment on that. Of all the issues I've dealt with in the last 14 or 15 long years on the advisory committee process, this was the single most cooperation I've seen between the broad different factions of users that are always at hit on different things here. And this is the one thing that brought us together. It's incredible. And in order to be brief, I'll speak just for a moment of funding on this thing. Because of FERC license requirements on the regulated project, there were funds needed for the losses.
The birds are already there, and they want to enhance the moose.
It killed habitat. And the funds are available in the system right now. It is working in this area through some various directions.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you. I don't have time today to get into the details of that, but I should certainly like to have those details to get shared with the target center to get to us, and that'd be of interest. Yeah. Good to have you back for our committee.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Lehman, Senator Storgerson. My name is Jim Reardon. I'm a 40-year resident of Alaska. I'm a Homer, 46-year resident of Alaska. Background is almost entirely wildlife. I organized the wildlife department at the University of Alaska in 1950 and taught as head of that department for 6 years. I worked as a biologist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Spent 12 years as a member of the board of Fish and Game and the board game, and for 20 years as outdoors editor of Alaska Magazine. I'm also a pilot and fly off of the Homer Airport. I've dodged a few little brown cranes on the airport over the years, but the problem seems to be the birds down there seem to be diminishing. Mm-hmm. And I don't see where this critical habitat area would in any way increase the danger of bird strikes by airplanes at the airport. I'm going to be brief and shut up right now with the comment that I agree with Bob Moss. I think his comments went right to the heart of the matter, and I strongly support the establishment of this area. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I was just thinking back to what I was doing in 1950.
I think I told you to go wipe your nose a few times.
I was here when I was very young. There's really not much you can do with it.
'60s, and I'm so astonished that that airport exists. It would seem logically around an airport, you want as little development as possible. If you have no development, then you're going to have wildlife to a degree, but I don't think the alternative is as Merrill Field is. I think Merrill Field's going to be there long until a plane drops into North Point Mall or along the side streets up there, and then it's going to be gone. You're either going to have dead zones around the airport, or you're going to have something that's sound and managed wisely like this plan. And that's the only thing that's safe for everybody. And then the last comment, because most people are more outgoing on this subject than I am. We recently had a land classification hearing before the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly, dealing with an 80-acre tract on the top of the hill here. And an interesting fact came out, because someone suggested that perhaps we're too eager to lock up Alaska, and we need to have multiple uses, more development, keep going. And that sort of puzzled me. And I asked our planning director, Lisa Parker, for the borough, how much borough land has been locked up on the Southern Peninsula? The answer is now 1 square inch. And I think even if you're thinking of this as a lockup, believe me, I'm still a teenager inside, 55 years old now, and you start viewing all this as transitional. This is a losing battle to protect these moves. Sooner or later, it's gone, but I would prefer that it would be latter, because I think we're going to lose an awful lot of our lifestyle here in Homer for the reason that we moved here if we don't do something to protect it. But it is a losing battle. Eventually, the development will overwhelm this. So as much as you want to say we're going to suffer forever, I don't think it will happen. I would certainly encourage you. Thanks, Ron.
Happy to come here. I'm just going to caution people if we can really shrink the testimony down and get as many as possible. We're going to have to scoot here before too long.
I appreciate both of you coming here to listen to us. I'm Nina Faust, and I am representing the Kaishanai Tiger Conservation Society, one of the 100 members. And we have consistently supported this piece of legislation. Now that it's finally reached this point, but the Blue Lagoon Wetlands Project, we consistently support this as a group for the entire history of the progress process. And we feel that it's very important as we lose more and more habitat, as Ron was saying, that we need to recognize this and we need to set aside some of these wetlands that are really more useful to us as the community now as moose habitat. I think it was very well put on other Homer is shifting somewhat into economic infrastructure. And we look at this in addition to our economic infrastructure. We build a lot of buildings to enhance our economic infrastructure. Why not set aside wetlands and habitat for moose as part of the economic infrastructure for tourism? We have a world-class eagle viewing area out on the Inverness that brings in a lot of folks to photograph and watch. And I think the moose habitat that would come about by
Airport Butler would be
another wildlife in the opportunity to support for our economy. We, as a group, support this very strongly and encourage you to pass it through and make it a reality. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Edgar
Bailiff. Yeah, I'm Edgar Bailiff from Homer. I would, as a wildlife biologist, also like to echo the remarks eloquently made by Jim Reinhart and written statement of George West. However, as an escapee of Southern California, I've seen what's happened cumulatively with the loss of habitat. And if we don't use some foresight here, we're going to have the same sequence occur here in Alaska. It is occurring to a large degree, just looking right up in Anchorage. But luckily, they've had the foresight to save important areas. I was very much involved in the 80-acre situation of saving borough land that Ron Draftman just alluded to. And that was a case to try and save some important wildlife corridors, particularly for moose that transit between the summering areas up on top of Skyline Drive and the hinterlands and the key wintering areas. But it's the key wintering areas that we're really in short supply of. And you have to look ahead and you have to look at the cumulative impacts of losses here and losses there and what the overwhelming situation is going to be. So I think here's an outstanding opportunity to look at the cumulative impacts and have foresight and safeguard a very key area. Let's face it, it's only a little more than a square mile, but it's very, very essential for wintering. migrating moose populations. That's the stopgap as far as their population dynamics are concerned, is what's left in the winter, and that's, of course, the lowlands that are largely claimed by we humans in development. So by all means, I hope that this bill is passed. It's something extremely important, and I don't think there's any real problem with birds around the airport there, and as others have alluded to, with surrounding loss of habitat, the bird problem is actually diminishing, as well stated by George West. Please support this bill. Thank you.
Thanks, Edgar. Eric Redmore. Good to see you, Senator Blunt, and Senator Clinton. I appreciate you having a busy schedule to be with us about that. As far as this year, critical habitat, I'm not one that wants to tear up the environments or anything like that. We do have a bird problem on the airport, and there will continue to be a bird problem as long as we leave. For instance, Lambert Lake is 2 foot above its normal level. That's allowing water to run down through into the lower end, enhancing the habitat for migratory birds. We have these here little seagulls, what are they called, laying and nesting on the side of the airport. We have sandhill cranes nesting on the airport area. We have coyotes coming in for an omelet once in a while, and that's the reason they're coming on and getting under the fence. And we had an incident which was not reported very widely, but where a twin otter hit an airport during the dusky hours and bent the prop. So I heard what you said about the fish and game, other fish and wildlife regulations to try not to enhance the bird habitat. I'm for that. The thing that we face is the fact that the DOT says that they're going to take 600 foot off the runway out there, which will then not allow the larger contract or charter craft to come in to take the seafood out if we get into the position where we want to ship them out. That makes a problem there, because if we've been told by the DOT Airport Division that they would like us to take over the operation of the airport, that is no longer an option here. We're not going to have any land on the side of the airport for airport-related businesses. Homer cannot afford that. We're subsidizing in a small way, a terminal out there, which we were happy as a plan to have put in. But if we do not have land there that can lease to the business related to the airport, we cannot accept the airport and make that a viable deal. Any modern city, the economic base is dependent upon your airport. Either we have to move the airport out or be able to build around it in a small way. I know this is not a popular decision in this meeting, but I mean, that's the way I feel. I'm looking out for what I've been here for 50 years, no longer than Senator Lehman has. Yeah. Out this way. I see it run from a 250 people population back when I first got into 46, the hour we had within the city limits of Homer, 4,000 plus. We have got to grow in some areas to make jobs. You talked about what is out the city of Homer, and the last reading out from the borough headquarters, I received a printout of $87 million of land within the city limits of Homer is either federal, state, borough, and the city is contributing to that too. Of non-taxes, no taxes paid, they're exempt from taxes. That is 1/4 of our total deal. Now we propose to take 300 acres out and wiping out the commercial 2 property. Thank you for the time that I'd like to submit a written one a little bit further.
I'd appreciate it if you would, and I am concerned about the airport's ability to be able to function, but I don't know that this proposal really keeps it from being able to do that. And if you have some specific examples that you can provide for us that show that, then appreciate it if you'd furnish it to us.
Are you having another meeting in June?
Yes, we will. If you'd like to, and
I'm a private pilot, and I do all my flying on and off of Toluca Lake. And what I wanted to testify to was my experience in flying on and off Toluca Lake. The prevalent winds coming into Homer in the summer are from the southwest, and we use this area that's been primarily delineated as the critical habitat area as our approach into Beluga Lake. I see moose there on either end of the season. When ice first goes out, Beluga Lake is the first place pretty much in South Central Alaska that we can fly floats off fresh water. And there's moose down there then, and there's moose in the near the ice in and during the fall feeding down there. The moose aren't a big problem. That's also the only way to set up a glassy water approach into Beluga Lake, where you lose your depth perception. You're coming close over these weeds and get your approach set up for that. I as a full plane pilot, I'd have to say that Beluga Lake is not the wildest place I fly in and out of. There are a lot of places that we go where animals and birds, and especially large birds like swans and loons and cranes become a factor. But that's part of being an Alaskan pilot. I remember when I first met Mr. Hoyt, and he described to me, when he found out what type of plane I flew, he described to me an accident that he'd had in the plane where he'd run into a bird and the ramifications of that. That's always stuck with me. I think that pilots carry those sort of experiences around or relations of experiences around so that they don't run into the same problems. But, bird avoidance is part of the skills that you build. I don't know what the alternative is. If you don't make this critical habitat, I'm certainly going to object to putting a tower up there. That's the approach into Beluga Lake. I think that this is as close to status quo as we can possibly keep. I don't worry about the moose, as I say, and most of the birds that I encounter at Beluga Lake are in the lake itself. They're diving birds that live in the lake, and there's nothing that you're ever going to do. Beluga Lake is a very shallow, warm lake and rich for things for birds to eat. So there are birds living there, and then there are predation birds that live around it that feed on the birds and the hatchlings in the lake. I don't know, short of killing every bird in the area, that you'll ever avoid that. So, thank you.
Thanks, kid.
That's my answer.
Can you married?
Yeah.
All right. Sam Brody here. And Larry Smith has already left. Go ahead.
I'd just like to say that I'm in Porterville, and I spent a lot of time in the outdoors, both in the winter and the summer.
I'm telling you when it gets back.
In the winter, you'll see a lot of moose in this area. And I think it's important that we keep this area open to them. It's one of the
future development. lock up. It's clearly seen that this plan is not locking up the major areas that would logically be needed to be expanded for to connect the airport down to the seaplane base on Beluga Lake.
No, I worked in Petersburg.
And that there's many areas out there yet that this area clearly is not approaching. And those are the high desire areas that are available. This area is specifically targeting the area used by the roof on the north side of the runway and the smaller areas to the south. In terms of having this vote to the people, I think this has been by the people probably more than any issue that we've dealt with. We have a few issues that get this widely heard, but the people have heard this and we've responded on this issue. So for the opposition to say that it needs to go to vote of the people, I guess anybody that could clearly say, hey, if we're going to make a dock, build a dock, and tie up that lane for 200-300 years, presumably we build docks for that long, it should go to the vote of the people. But clearly, all our development doesn't go to the vote of the people. We make decisions as politicians and as governments and citizens. Through many methods, sure, going to a vote on everyone. In terms of the comment on the government lands, the majority of those government lands, the value of those government holdings are schools. So to say that we should not, perhaps shouldn't have that value that we have in our schools, to me the logic is somewhat lost. And the Sandhill Cranes is one thing that the Sandhills don't use that as much anymore now that the fence is there. They don't have the capacity to come on the runway during the molting period. So as everybody has been pointing out, I think as pressures around this area increase, the population of birds are going to decrease. We're stewards not only for what we're doing right now, but for generations to come. And if we're able to head this in the right direction to lead homeward, diverse economy in the future, I think we're doing the right thing.
Thanks, Jack. And I'm sorry if we...
He had Mark to the order.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Roger McGinty.
Oh, I tripped right through your name, and I'm sorry, but save the best for last.
I just wanted to say my input. I've been in Alaska over 50 years, been all over Alaska, and to me, the moose habitat is all over Alaska, the bird habitat, the bird and sea, everywhere you find birds. And I just wanted to input on the Bill 198 is we have two ways to go here. Either everybody move out and we let the moose and birds have it, or we'll have to work together as most places. And what I'm afraid of is this passes, and I've been a resident here for 19 years, that somebody will start feeding the eagles there, and pretty soon, well, we got a mess like we got out of the bed. Mm-hmm. And I've flown a lot, had a few birds hanging on the
field.
Feeding
these eagles and
I just grieve at the same time. I grieve with Mr. Molesta.
Because, I mean, she feeds 50 or 60 at one time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for coming down. I know we ran a little overtime, but I appreciate your patience. A lot of people here, and I thought we had. I believe a lot of the issues that were addressed are covered in the bill. Like Mr. Gardner says, it is a clear issue, yes or no. I happen to believe that we're not hampering the development of anybody, including the mayor on the side, after walking and seeing the lines over there and the officer last year. But that's the main reason I think the bill is too. You're welcome, and I thank each of you for providing input on this. Sorry we have to run, but I failed earlier to note to two very important people to us to help make things go, and I'd be reminded of on the way back if I didn't know. Mary Ballendorf is an aide in my office, and Mary's here helping out, and Eric Munster, an
any other input to us other than what you're able to do today, please feel free to call us, mail it, give, bring it in here to the LIO, give it to John, and we'll be working on this. There, has anybody shown up in Juneau on our committee that we should acknowledge?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. There being no further business coming before the committee, we are adjourned. Next meeting will be next Wednesday.
Hi, Annette.